Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. This is Dave Woodward, your host, and this is just me today. So usually I end up having some amazing people are just crushing it with funnels and things online. And I thought, you know what? I've been traveling so much recently, and I run across some of the most amazing marketers out there. And I keep forgetting to actually just record a podcast when I'm with them. So I thought, you know what? I am just going to try to give you a quick summary of some of the travels and everything else that have been going on. So the week of, the last week of November, Russell and I ended up flying out to WarriorCon, which is Garrett White's event. Had an amazing event there. Afterwards, ended up doing a recording for Stu McLaren and for a charity function he was doing for one of his employees. And then we ended up driving up to Ty Lopez's mansion and doing a podcast for Ty. Afterwards, we ended up spending the last day over at James Malinchak's event. So it's just a crazy, crazy 3 days. But I just really wanted to make sure, actually it ended up being just 2 days, but I want to make sure you guys understand some of the marketing lessons that I'm seeing all the time on a regular basis when I'm out meeting with just amazing, amazing marketers and people I just have the privilege of running into. So it was fascinating for me when I was with Russell at Ty's mansion, hearing some of the things he was talking to Ty about, the interaction going back and forth, spending time with their with Ty's staff, Alex Mayer, who basically is the CEO of, and co-founder of MentorBox, some of the stuff they're doing. So it was just again, totally an amazing experience. So I'm going to try to dive right into this thing and give you guys some ideas as far as what are some of the things you can be doing in your business to just massively crush it based on some of the things that we ended up talking about while we were out at Ty Lopez's mansion in Beverly Hills. So with that, the first thing is the importance of documenting the process and not creating content. We started this conversation actually with Garrett White while Russell was speaking on Garrett White's stage. And Russell and I ended up talking a little more about it as we were driving up to Ty's place, and then it came up again when we were at Ty's, basically working with Ty. So one of the things I want to talk to you guys about is how important it is, especially when you kind of first get started, because people are always like, gosh, you know, I'm having a hard time getting started. I need to create the product first. And so they spend all this time and energy trying to create a product, and yet they don't have, they haven't created a list. They haven't done anything like that. And so I can tell you what I've seen happen, and I saw it with Garrett, I've seen it with Russell, I've seen it with Ty, I've seen it with so many amazing marketers, and that is the whole idea as far as they document the process while they're going through actually creating some of the content. The process you're going to find is more important typically than the actual content that you end up creating. The reason for that is a lot of people you're bringing on, they're in the exact same position and shoes that you're in right now, where they're trying to find out exactly how to do what you're doing as far as creating that type of content. So I would highly recommend that you focus and really document the process. Now, the documenting of the process can be done through either Facebook Live, it can be done through YouTube video, it can be done through a blog, but you've got to create the content is the documentation of what you're doing. So that way people can understand they're going through the exact same things that you're going through. Your pain, your frustration is the same pain and frustration they're going to be experiencing. So I want to make sure that as you're going through this, do not forget the importance of documenting the process. It typically, almost always, is going to be more important than the actual content that you end up creating. So realize, you can, again, I highly recommend doing that through video. You're able to sell yourself better on video. People are connecting with you. They're all in on seeing you. They're seeing your pain. They're seeing your frustration. They're feeling it. Through video, it also then allows you the opportunity, if you want to, you can strip the audio off, use it as a podcast, you can use it as teasers and everything else. But I highly recommend document the process on a video. Where you decide to post, it's up to you, but do it on a video. Second thing, CAC. This is by far one of the most important things I can, oh my gosh, cannot tell you the importance of CAC, cost to acquire a customer. I meet all the time with people who are trying to throw millions of dollars at ClickFunnels as investors who are wanting to get involved in ClickFunnels. We are not taking money. We're not working with VCs. That's not, we've done everything we've privately funded. But the crazy thing, what always gets asked is what's your cost to acquire a customer. It happens to always be one of the first questions that Mark Cuban asks if you're watching Shark Tank. So what's your cost to acquire a customer? That cost to acquire a customer is the most important metric you're going to find. The next one after that is going to be what your average cart value is. So cost to acquire a customer is basically what does it really cost you in traffic, in ads, and all that other kind of stuff to get a person to buy. Not person to sign up, but to person to actually buy. Dan Kennedy is quoted probably weekly, if not almost daily, by Russell as far as the whole idea here, and that is whoever can spend the most to acquire a customer wins. And so I want to make sure you understand that. It's so often people, when they fall across hard times, they're like, oh man, I'm going to cut my marketing budget. That's like the worst thing you can do. What you really need to identify is how can you spend more to acquire a customer? And that obviously is tied into your average cart value. But realize the whole idea here is you have to know what is your cost to acquire a customer. You do not have a business until you can pay for ads. If you're running everything just off affiliates, if you're running everything off joint ventures, that's not a true business. You only have a true business when you can actually spend money to acquire a customer. So you have to know what is that cost to acquire a customer. And it was funny, we were talking with Alex Mayer about Mentor Box and how much they spend to sell a box. Talking to Ty about tons of the different stuff that he's doing. And again, guy's got more offers and things out there in so many different niches. But again, that cost to acquire a customer is one of the most important metrics. So first thing basically is document the process, don't create content. Second thing, cost to acquire a customer. Third thing we talked about is how do you actually sell something? Now realize when you're going, we started this conversation again with Garrett White and it just kind of followed. It was just an amazing weekend because we talked so much about this whole idea. And that is, you have to understand that when you're trying to sell something, typically, it's so funny. We see this all the time in the network marketing MLM space where they forget what they went through to actually sign up as a representative or marketer, whatever they want to call it. So realize you first of all have to identify what are the false beliefs that you had before you bought or believed whatever it is you're selling. So what are the false beliefs you had to go through to get there? If you're in the fitness space and you started losing weight, you ended up buying a product. And now if you're trying to sell a product, what did you have? What were the false beliefs that you had about the products that you purchased? If you're in financial services, the same type of thing. What you're going to find is anytime you're selling something, you should have probably gone through and purchased someone else's product at some point. So what were the limiting beliefs that you had? What were those false beliefs that you had before you bought that? Second thing then is what had to happen for you to actually change that belief? There was some process that you had to go through. So if you can identify what the false beliefs were and then identify what had to happen to you to actually change those beliefs, that's how you sell anything. Because whoever you're selling to has the same false beliefs. So identify what those false beliefs are and then identify what you had to go through. Tell that story of what you went through to overcome the false beliefs that they're having. That's the easiest way of selling anything because you're then putting yourself in the mind and the situation and the role that the person you're selling to is currently in. So if you can become that person and talk to them the way they, what's going through their head, you'll sell anything in the world because they're relating to you. So again, the first thing we talked about was document the process, don't create content. The second thing we talked about was cost to acquire a customer. The third thing is how do you sell something? The fourth thing is the importance of test. This kind of goes back as far as we have so many people who spend all the time trying to create a product before they even try to sell it. And this may seem really weird. I had the same conversation when I was speaking at Brigham Young University teaching their entrepreneurial class. And that is one of the best things you can actually do is sell something that you don't have, that you haven't created, that you haven't produced, a physical product. Because what you're going to find is if you can sell something, that's if so. Who was, gosh, we were talking. Talked too many people recently. Someone just the other day was asking us as far as, so do you use a lot of you know, groups and testing groups and, you know, types of things to identify what people want? And Russell said, no, the only thing I ever use is a person's credit card. If I can sell someone something and they vote with their credit card, that will outweigh any case study, any group people as far as what they might think they want the product to be or anything else. It's not till someone takes out their credit card and actually pays for something that you know you actually have a sales funnel that works and that you have a product people are willing to pay for. So we were the example that Russell used when he was talking with Ty was about Trey Llewellyn. So Trey's, again, one of our two Comic Club winners, dear friend, amazing guy, crushing it like crazy. Started off with the whole idea as far as I'm going to create a funnel every single day if that's what it takes to until I actually understand how to create funnels. And he was started off in the t-shirt business, ended up in the flashlight business only because he actually was in the building a membership platform around guns and everything in that area as far as associated with that. So basically, Trey was in a situation where he ended up selling a product he did not even have. What happened was he found out from his customers, he basically was talking to him is find out, you know, gosh, what else do you guys want? And one thing it basically ended up finding out, one of the things they wanted was a gun cleaning kit. He's like, shoot, I don't have, how long is it going to take me to get a gun cleaning kit from China? So he thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and basically sell this and see if people actually want it. So he created his funnel basically selling a gun cleaning kit that he didn't have. And where did he get that gun cleaning kit? He actually went to Walmart right across the street, ended up buying it, and ended up basically marking it up and selling it to people. So he's basically going through a financial arbitrage on a product. And we see this happen all the time in the physical product space. But realize you can actually sell something that you don't have. And this is the whole idea as far as testing to make sure something works before you spend all the time and money creating it. We've seen this on a ton of products at times. We actually end up creating a product, or we sell a product before it's even been created, and then let people know that, hey, you actually get to watch us create this product. And they think it's an amazing opportunity. The reality is we just didn't want to create the product before we knew people wanted to spend money on it. So understand that you can actually sell something that you don't actually have created, and people will enjoy the creation of that product. This kind of goes back again as far as documenting the process. We're documenting the process with them while we're creating the content. So it's a huge, huge opportunity. Make sure that you're test before you actually spend all your time and effort creating things or buying a whole warehouse full of a product that you don't know whether or not it's going to sell. So that's number four. Number five here is what I learned from Alex Mayer, who is MentorBox CEO and co-founder. And that is, they're doing over $1 million a month on a MentorBox. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And he's like, yeah. I said, it's not even your product. He goes, no, we actually are just taking other people's products, putting them into a box and selling it. And so I thought, you know what? What I learned from Alex, a couple things. One of them was, here's a guy who had a huge, huge tech company where he had over 100 developers doing a ton of stuff for he and Ty years ago and basically ended up getting rid of all of them. He's using ClickFunnels with two people accomplishing the same stuff that he was doing with 100. And that's the power behind ClickFunnels. Is you actually can, and one of the things he said he loved is, again, it goes back to that testing. He goes, I actually can test different things before I spend any time creating the product inside of MentorBox. And so MentorBox started off as an all-physical product where they actually were mailing out books. But their costs became super, super expensive. And he's like, you know what? We realized that what people really wanted was not the physical book. What they really valued more than anything else was a audio or a video of the author talking about the book. He said, so we actually are basically meeting with the author, videoing the author, talking about what are the two or three key principles in the book. It takes about 30, 40 minutes. They have this crazy value that they're actually able to sell at a higher price than the actual books. And then on the back end, they then tie in their Amazon affiliate link for MentorBox. And I thought, you know, it's just, again, it goes back. So basically, principle from Alex, a couple things was, one, the power of ClickFunnels, literally one for 50. So for every person he's using working inside of ClickFunnels basically is the equivalent of 50 developers. Second thing from Alex on that was the importance of getting a product out there quickly. Just again, he just assimilated someone else's product and sold it, and then realized that what people really wanted wasn't the product as much as it was the video and from the author. And now he's creating almost a Netflix platform type of thing where he's able to sell more. And again, I just thought it was fascinating. So number six is a principle that Russell talked to Ty about when it was really quite funny because Ty didn't realize he actually had won a dream car through ClickFunnels affiliate contest. And he's like, you got to be kidding me. I didn't even know we'd sold that much. I told him, yeah, you definitely have. And he goes, man, so how could Russell, what would you teach people about becoming an affiliate? And I mean, obviously, huge opportunity for Russell to sell people on ClickFunnels affiliate program. But more important than that was what he said. And that is, he said, you know what, one of the best things, he says, if I was to start all over, and again, you have to understand, Russell literally sold millions, tens of millions of dollars as an affiliate. But the key here is, he said, if I was to do it all over, what I would end up doing is curating content of the product owner, a product I was going to sell. So take, for example, if you wanted to sell Tai Lopez and some of the stuff that Tai Lopez is doing, you basically, the best way of selling Tai Lopez and to build a list of Tai Lopez fans and everything else would be to create a content, a curated content piece. In other words, you could actually send them to a ClickFunnels landing page where what they would end up getting is they would end up getting 5 to 10 of the very best videos that you found on YouTube from Tai talking about him and his business and everything else. Because what you find right now is there's so much content out there that people will actually pay for someone else to assimilate and curate that content for them. So I highly recommend that no matter what you're selling, take a look as far as, especially if you're in the, if you're an affiliate, this is the easiest thing in the world, where you literally go, so right now, if you want to be an amazing affiliate for ClickFunnels, you literally could go out to YouTube and you could find what you feel are the best 5 to 7, 10 videos of Russell teaching something, and then basically offer those to people in exchange for them giving you their email. And you then would sit on the ClickFunnels landing page, would then be the offer, would be where they actually would get it, and would be a downloadable link, or you could actually send them to another page. Bottom line is, you would have all those videos there for them to simplify the ease of it. Don't just send them to YouTube, but basically have those videos right there. They land on it. Now they're consuming content on your page that is actually created by somebody else. Same type of thing. If you were in fitness space, all of a sudden you said, you know what? What are some of the best hit videos out there? Well, now you go out to YouTube. You can find some of the best hit videos that you liked, and you can basically start building a list of people in the fitness space. If you were years ago in the direct marketing space, we spent a lot of time as far as working with, when I was consulting for large companies, they basically would create a checklist. And it was a checklist of all the things you would want basically before you hire a contractor to build your house, which has been a nightmare, side note, before you build, work with a contractor, before you hire a before you get a loan, if you're a loan officer, before you work with a real estate agent, before you do, I don't, just enter whatever thing it is a person's going to do, especially if it's something that people don't do on a regular basis. Because the fear of the unknown is one of the things that drives people crazy. It's like, I don't even know what questions to ask. You literally could create content. We could create a checklist, or you could curate what other people are saying about that and use that to basically help them. And you're building this huge list. They now see you as the expert. And all you've done is you've actually borrowed expert status from these other people. So, again, huge opportunity for you. It was kind of funny. Actually, we just got back from Ryan Moran's event in Austin, Texas, capitalism.com, Capcon. And it was fascinating because Russell was talking to Ryan. He said, so, Ryan, how often? He says, you know, it's a 3-day event. How often are you up there speaking and, you know, teaching your own content? He goes, I don't at all. He's like, what? Because, I mean, Russell typically teaches, you know, 2 to 3 times he's talking every day at Funnel Hacking Live. He's like, how? Why not? And he goes, honestly, Russell, I don't believe that people really want to hear from me. I don't feel like I have that great of content. He says, what I'm really good at doing is bringing other amazing people who have awesome content, speaking on my stage, and then afterwards asking them the questions that I know all my audience really wants to hear. And I thought, wow, that's fascinating. Here's a guy, Ryan Moran, who, again, is just killing it and worked in the Amazon business space, selling a ton of physical products, ended up selling off his Amazon business, and now is going all in on Capcon. And it was fascinating because his whole thing was an entire event where he's not even the person up there. What he's doing is he's curating amazing speakers and then asking them questions at the end. And he had over 500 people pay him over $1,000 to be sitting in this event where he had the likes of Damon John and Russell and Roland Frazier and Perry Belcher and guys who are just – and Brian Lee, who basically is the guy who created – was co-founder of LegalZoom and now The Honest Company. And he's got these great speakers And he's basically just asking him questions after they went up and presented something. So realize you can do this in a ton of areas, and it's a huge, huge opportunity for you. Number seven is the importance of A players. This was fascinating because I was joking around with some of Ty's staff. So you realize, here we are, we're sitting at Ty's mansion. If you're familiar with basically the setting, we've got the two chairs right behind us is, we're basically videoing out, shooting over the little koi pond he has there in the entry, and then his main door's behind. And then behind that, basically as far as where all the cameras are, we've got, you know, probably 10 to 12 people there, and then in the other room, there was probably another 10. So there are about 20, 25 people in the house. Realize we were supposed to be out of there at 11. We didn't leave until after 2 in the morning. And his whole staff was there the whole time. And it was fascinating because I asked him, I said, so is this typical for you guys? He goes, yeah, it's pretty typical. He says, 40-hour work weeks just are not even, no one even looks at it that way. I said, why is it everyone stays? He goes, you know, Ty's just built this amazing culture where people want to be around him. And we learned so much from being here that whether it's helping Ty in his business or things we're doing on our own, we want to be around him and feel that. So culture and creating that staff is your employees and everything else is one of the most important things you can do in any business. It's fascinating. We ended up talking with Ty about the importance of hiring A players because that's all we've tried to do here at ClickFunnels is hire A players. And it was really amazing because Ty basically said, you know what? For me, the only thing I care about, Alex Mayer, who's been a business partner for Ty's for, almost the last 8 years, says, you know, we started this business years ago, and all we've ever tried to do is hire amazing developers, hire amazing talent, and it's really what's helped us grow our business. And Russell and I were sitting there talking about the idea that, you know, for every A player is probably worth, the number doesn't matter, but whether it's 3,200 times more important than a B player or 10 times, the whole idea is the fact that A players are exponentially more valuable to you on your team than a B player. So if you have to pay more for an A player in compensation or in equity or in different things like that, realize if they truly are an A player, the ROI on that is so huge, it doesn't even compare to a B player. It's one of those things I always laugh whenever someone doesn't last very long here. We try real hard to make sure that people stick around at ClickFunnels for a long time. We really try to build that culture and everything else. But every once in a while, someone kind of slips through the cracks, and it's amazing how soon they basically realize they want to leave. Or we realize, you know what, it's just not working out. And the reason it's not working out is because they're just not up to it. We had a situation a while back where a guy basically was on the clock, and it was frustrating for me because even though we have amazing, amazing people who work for us, a lot of these guys are here way before, quote unquote, the clock would start and are here much, much later. We had one guy literally just kind of clocked in and clocked out, and you could literally set your clock by the time he left. I mean, it was literally, if it was 5 o'clock, that door was basically hitting him on the way out. So realize the importance of culture and hiring A players. So real fast, again, quick summary here. First and most important, document the process. Don't create content. Second of all, cost to acquire customers is the most important metric you can pay attention to, tied very closely to average cart value. Number three is how you actually sell something. Number four is test, 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 and actually sell things before you create them or have them. Number five is a lot of the things I ended up learning from Alex Mayer as far as CEO of MentorBox. Number six is curate content, and number seven is the importance of culture and, most importantly, hiring team A players. So with all that said, thank you so much for listening. Let me know if this is of value to you. I really am trying to find out whether or not putting these kind of words of wisdom in that I'm finding as I'm out there is more important to you or value to you or at least equivalent to the value I'm getting when I bring in amazing mentors who are speaking and talking about some of the stuff they're doing. So hope you're having an amazing, amazing day. Most importantly, I hope that the things we're talking about here, you're actually implementing in your business. I really try to provide as much value as I can in a way that is quick and easy enough for you to actually get some pearls and words of wisdom that you can actually use in your business. So let me know, again, if there's something that you'd like or anything else, feel free to email me, Dave at ClickFunnels, hit me up on Facebook, private message me, whatever. I want to know if this is working for you and if you're getting value out of this. If it is, fantastic. I will keep doing it. If there's things that you want, let me know that as well. Have an awesome day. And if you haven't already checked out Expert Secrets book, I don't know why you wouldn't, but please go to expertsecrets.com, get the book, and obviously take a look at ClickFunnels. It's Funnel Hacker Radio, sponsored solely by ClickFunnels. Have an awesome day. See ya. Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dream car and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.